Good evening. Tonight, Henry, Kyle, Adam, and myself are going to spend a few minutes talking to you about four things that God's Word does for us. Have you ever really thought of how life would be different if not for God's Word? Most of us have had such a good life that we really hadn't taken the time to stop and think of how different it could be without the Word of God. I know our country would be different. The United States, for one, would not be one nation under God if not for the guidelines in God's Word. And that means a lot. I hope we never see the difference, but it means we're not ruled by an iron fist dictator, for one thing, and that we have morals in our country. We'd have many freedoms we have now we wouldn't even have if not for being one nation under God and having God's Word. And we're very fortunate to have been born in a Christian nation. And even though all nations are not Christian nations, I think the entire world would be different if not for God's Word. Even non-Christian countries get some of their beliefs and morals from the Word of God in different parts of the Bible. Even your Muslims believe the very first part of the Bible, so they have a little taste of God's Word. But if you think about it, without God's guidelines pointing out what's good and bad, this world would be a very dangerous place to live, much more dangerous than it does now. Mankind as we know it probably wouldn't exist. I don't know how bad it would be, but who knows? It could be the jungle type living, you know, survival of the fittest. But the bottom line is we're very, very fortunate to have the Word of God. And many times we may not even stop to think about how fortunate we are and what the Word of God does for us. But tonight we're going to take a few minutes to look at four specific things that God's Word does for us. We're going to look at how God's Word informs us, how it warns us, how it inspires us, and how it transforms us. And the first part will be looking at how God's Word informs us. If not for God's Word, we wouldn't even know how to please God. Without it, we wouldn't know the things that God wants us to do. And it would be impossible to please God, no matter how hard we tried. You know, you have those that worship the sun, the moon, even cattle, or Buddha, a statue, different things. Mankind has this built-in desire to worship, but worship is vain if it's not according to God's will. And God's Word explains this to us. You know, we have many people in our world who claim, well, it doesn't matter what God you worship or how you worship. It's just important that you worship. But is this what God's Word says? God's Word informs us that this is not true. In John 4:24, the Bible tells us God is spirit, and those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And if we worship in any other way, then we worship in vain. John 4:24 tells us how we have to worship, what kind's acceptable to God, only that that's in spirit and truth. And we wouldn't even know the truth, like we said, if not for God's Word. So no matter how hard we tried, any worship would be unacceptable. 1 John 3:4 tells us that sin is transgression of the law. And by knowing what the Bible says, we know what God's law says. When we do things against what the Bible says, we sin. Isaiah 59:1-2 says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not so sharp that it cannot save, nor is his ear so dull that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear you." We see from God's Word that God does love us, and he can reach out and save us. But there's something that can separate us from God, according to God's Word, and that something is sin. Isaiah tells us that sin will cause God to hide his face from us. And sin will keep God from hearing our prayers. Bottom line is, sin will keep us from going to heaven. God's word informs us of how we should live. God's word is full of things that we have to have to be pleasing to God. But the word of God also gives us warning. It not only informs us of many things, but it gives us a warning, and it doesn't leave us in a hopeless situation. It warns us of our sins. And Henry's going to come speak to us on how God's word warns us.
Wait a minute, Ike. He warned you I was coming up, but you didn't have to leave. I don't know why Dan had me to speak on warnings. Maybe he thought I need to study up on it a little bit. But you know, God's word is full of warnings to man. Going all the way back to Genesis in the second chapter, when God warned Adam not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because when you do, you will surely die. Well, as soon as God issues this warning, what happens? The devil creeps in and he twists things just a little bit and he tweaks things a little bit. And he tells Eve that you will not surely die. Well, we know that despite what the devil says or what anyone says, if we do not heed God's warnings, the end result will be gloom, doom, and separation from him. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death." Wages are what a man earns when he works, or a woman earns. It's something you earn. It's something you are merited with, something you deserve. When you work, it's proper pay for what you've done at that job. In this scripture, it means that proper payment for sin is death. And that's what will happen. Sometimes sin might seem to be fun. It might seem to be pleasant, even exciting and often enticing. But the end result is a very bitter one. Death will be the wages that will be properly deserved. There's a popular talk show radio host, some of y'all may know who I'm talking about, that when asked how he's doing, he says, "Better than I deserve." Anybody ever heard that guy? Dave Ramsey. Dave's doing better than he deserves. But if we don't heed God's warnings, we'll not get better than we deserve, but we'll get exactly what we deserve. And that might be a bitter pill for some to swallow. But we should expect it, because not one sinner will die and be separated from God that doesn't deserve to be separated from God. Romans 8:13 warns, "If you live according to a sinful nature, you will die." Again, we're warned, if we spend our lives pursuing passions of the flesh and lustful desires, we're going to face eternal doom. It's going to happen. But the good part of these two warnings that we just read, I just read half of each of those verses. Because in the second half of those verses, they're followed with hope. The hope that if we're faithful, we will receive the gift of God's love and grace. A gift that is not without cost, though. A gift is free to the one that receives it. But each of us here knows the cost that was paid for this gift that God gives us. It was paid for by the blood of our Savior, Jesus Christ. This should help inspire us to turn away from sin and walk closer to Jesus in our daily lives. Now, I think Adam's got some more words of inspiration from God's word.
Good evening. First of all, I would like to say that our budget isn't so bad that we're reduced to just the deacons to bring the sermon tonight, so don't worry about the funding with the church. Because I was sitting there thinking, it's like, can't we afford a preacher to come in and do this for us? But Dan said this is common, that we'll be fine and we'll get past it. My topic tonight is to talk a little bit about God's Word and the inspiration of God's Word. And we've studied in class this past year on the first century church and how the first century church needed inspiration. And when the Bible was written, the New Testament was written, the books of the New Testament, there was so much inspiration that was needed because there was so much persecution of that time frame. And if you think back to the first century and the persecution that Christians were facing at that time frame, how much inspiration they must have needed to be able to put their lives on the line and to be willing to give their lives to say that they're Christians, stand up. And that was something that was very common amongst first century Christians, that they would be sought out and killed. While today we may be persecuted of a different nature, we're not persecuted to the point of death in most cases. So the inspiration that we see and the inspiration that's written in the New Testament shows the amount of desire that is needed to you know, be with Christ, and what the inspired Word of God is, and what we'll actually receive at the end if we hold true. And I will read from 1 Thessalonians 4:16-18. It says, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of a trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words." So we can see there in 1 Thessalonians that, you know, the reward is heaven. Last Wednesday night when we had our guest speaker in our summer series, he came around and asked, like, what do you think of when you think of the word heaven? I think of the word reward. Because it's a reward for a life that we've lived according to the Scripture. It's not a reward that we're deserving of, but it's something that we're promised of in the Scripture. I tell people all the time, I said, you know, do you think you're going to heaven, or are you going to heaven when you die? And my answer is, I'm not necessarily overly concerned if whether I'm going to heaven as much as I am that I know that I'm living in Christ now, and when I'm dead, I'll be with Christ. And if Christ takes us to heaven, that'll be a glorious day. But if Christ takes us somewhere else, that'll be fine too. So if you're living in Christ, that's the goal and that's the mission. So when you do pass, you will be with Christ. The second verse that I read tonight is from 1 Corinthians 15:51-58. And it says, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of the eye, in the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must be put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and when the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain." So we know that we have to be steadfast, and we know that we have to stand firm, and there's going to be times of challenge as we go through this process. And I'm going to have Kyle come up, and he's going to talk about the transformation.
I think I'm the one you were waiting on, the last one, right? All right. The time has arrived. I'm going to talk to you for just a moment about the transformation that we can receive through the Word of God. And, you know, the thing that we all want to keep in mind is that as we go through our life, we strive for perfection, and yet we understand that there was one perfect being, and that, you know, it's a continual struggle. And from time to time, those struggles tend to overwhelm us. And when we feel that, a lot of times we have to turn to the Word of God to gain strength. And through Him, we have the strength to carry out that transformation of our lives that He has planned for each and every one of us. There is a plan, a master plan, one that each and every one of us are a part of. And as we live our life, part of the challenge is to find where you fit into that plan and to be able to transform your life as you live. We all change. And, you know, and a lot of times we see others that are changing as well. And I think that we have to respect that, and we have to understand that, you know, God's will be done. A lot of times we as humans have a plan. We develop plans for what we want to do and how we want to do it. But they don't always coincide with the plan that God has for each one of us. And where we begin to find that peace, that understanding in life, is where we begin to accept God's plan. We begin to see Him working in our lives. And a lot of times we tend to overlook that, and we don't feel that as we go through life. But He truly gives us the strength to make those changes. And as we go back and look, I know we're doing a study in Acts right now in the mornings, and it's very interesting to see how individuals' lives were miraculously transformed. For example, Saul. Never was there a man that, you know, attacked Christianity in the way that he did. And yet he was transformed. He was changed. Well, how was he changed? His heart was changed. And that too is how we are changed. God touches our heart. And once He touches our heart, then He begins to control our mind. And then the things that we put in our mind control what you see in our lives. And each day, as we reflect upon the strength that God gives us, we all understand that, you know, through Him, we can do all things. And so, you know, as I talk to you today about transformation, I want you to keep those thoughts in mind. I'm going to take just a moment, and if you would, turn to Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. That is how we truly understand God's plan for us, is through His Word. And when we look at His Word, we see that God plans for each one of us to live a life that will lead others to Him. We're to follow His Word, and we're to do. We are doers. He put us on this earth with a purpose. And that purpose is to reach out and to teach others the Word and to help to draw them closer to Him. And as we do that, we understand that, you know, there will be challenges. The world that we live in today presents a lot of challenges, a lot of distractions. And I know technology is a great thing, but there are a lot of areas of technology that are very distracting to our spiritual growth and development as a Christian. And I think sometimes we have to understand that, and we have to be able to go back to the Word to refocus, to be able to clear our minds, to be able to gain the strength that He wants us to have to be able to stand and to speak up for Him. And I know that I mentioned Acts just a moment ago, and one of the things that if you go through and you look at Acts and you see those people that are transformed and you see the positive impact that they begin to have on the people around them and you see the strength that they have to be able to stand alone with their life on the line and to change the way masses of people think. What you see is the Holy Spirit at work. You see the Holy Spirit through them, giving them the strength and the courage to be able to stand and to teach the Word of God. And that is one of the most powerful things that God gave us. You know, we have prayer, and that gives us tremendous strength because that gives us the opportunity to speak to God. But He also gave us that opportunity to have the Holy Spirit in our heart, which will change our mind and to help us to be a better Christian. Before I stop, I'd like to read from Philippians 4, verse 8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And I think that is very clear direction as to what we should put into our mind. Because a lot of times we are distracted if we put things in our mind that are outside the guidance that was given us here in the Word of God. And a lot of times that's what brings about confusion, because we are bringing in a lot of things from the outside that tend to draw us out of focus. So what I would like for you to do is to think about your life, to understand that we're all in a continual process of transformation, and that each one of us is a part of that master plan. And each one of us have the opportunity to affect others. We have to look for those opportunities. We have to make those opportunities, but they're there. He puts us in positions to touch lives, and it's up to us to step out and to help individuals make those transformations. I thank you for your time, and I appreciate the opportunity to speak with you today. And if there's anyone here tonight that needs to come forward for the prayers of the church or would like to take on your Lord Jesus Christ through baptism, if you would come forward at this time as we stand and sing.
Days are filled with sorrow and care.